name is Marielle, and I am the founder of Travel Experiences Reimagined, the podcast for travel enthusiasts, wanderlusts, and adventure seekers, craving to learn more about tours and excursions from all over the world through the eyes of a new tour guide or host each episode. Hi, everyone. When you think of a travel coach, what comes to mind? Someone who helps you transform your travel experiences? Someone who is able to guide you by creating and going on an amazing vacation? Or is it something else and something so much better? I am delighted to have on Sahara, founder of the Travel Coach Network, where she owns her own wellness travel coaching business, along with creating a coaching membership, where she helps mentor, guide, and coach others to start and grow their own travel coaching business. Welcome, Sahara. Did I miss anything?
No, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to chat with you today.
Likewise, same here, Sahara. I think you're fabulous. I've heard of the Travel Coach Network, so really excited to get into today's episode. But before we get into all of that, I'd love for you to share your background, other places you've lived, other jobs you've had, just to give the listeners a little bit more of an idea about you.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and I spent a lot of my years living in Chicago, where I completed my university. I studied hospitality and tourism management there, but like a lot of college students, I was broke at the time. I was living in the quite expensive city of Chicago, but I also had a goal to be able to travel. So I started working a lot of different jobs while also in school full time. But when I chose jobs, I always chose jobs that I really was interested in and ones that were fun. So I did everything from nannying and babysitting, because I love being with kids, to working at trade shows and conferences as a trade show model. They were just really fun events. I did a lot of staffing and catering things. I worked primarily in the restaurants in Chicago and really busy, high-end, like expensive restaurants. So that's where I made a lot of my travel money. And then I also love to do art. So I would sell my paintings or I would refurbish furniture that I'd find in my recycling room. So I did a lot of different things to make money when I was in college before I started my travels and then before I started my travel coaching business.
Wow, I love that. And I love that you really tried a bunch of things. I think that's so important for anybody in college. Something I did too. I've worked at a golf course. I worked at Party City. I've worked at Subway. I've worked at a bowling alley. And all those experiences really lead you to where you are today, right? So in terms of all your experiences and traveling the world to so many places, how and why did you create the Travel Coaching Network? What was that aha moment for you?
Yeah. So when I graduated university in 2010 with my degree in hospitality and tourism management, I was very underwhelmed by the lack of career options or job options that I had learned about over the 2 years that I was in the program, and also what I knew about in the industry by searching for jobs. So I decided to take a very unconventional route in life. I bought a one-way ticket to Ireland. I packed a backpack and I said, I didn't want to settle for just any job. So I said, I'm going to go, you know, travel a little bit. And then I thought I'd go for a month and a half and then I would quote unquote figure out my life and come back home. But like many people do, I got bit by the travel bug, and I spent the next decade hopping around the globe solo. And within that decade long journey, I still struggled for a really long time, almost I'd say about 8 to 9 years, to figure out what my dream career path was in travel. I always say I traveled during a really prime time in the travel industry. There was the rise of social media and travel influencers, and of course, travel technology with all the different apps and navigation systems that we have now. But I never came across anything that really caught my attention. I didn't want to be a travel agent. I personally don't enjoy planning and booking trips for people. And I'm not a great writer. I don't really enjoy writing that much. So I didn't want to be a travel writer or a blogger. And I didn't want to be a travel influencer. I didn't really align with that industry. And I said, there has to be something else out there. I have all this knowledge and all this love of travel. You're telling me I have to be a flight attendant or be a travel agent or work in a hotel if that's my passion. So when I always gave myself time. And when I said, when I'm 30, I'll figure out what I'm going to do with my life. And 30 came around and I decided to sit down in the north of Spain in a hostel. I opened up a laptop and I started researching, you know, how to make money online, types of travel jobs, stuff like that. And I came across the coaching industry in general. And I never saw travel coaching, but something inside of me clicked and it said, that's it. I want to be a travel coach. And I personally wanted to focus in the wellness side of travel coaching. But shortly after starting my wellness coaching business, I had many other travelers and travel professionals and travel agents reaching out, asking me, hey, what is a travel coach? I might want to do that. It sounds like something I've maybe already been doing for so long. I didn't know it was a term. And that was the catalyst to starting the Travel Coach Network.
Wow. I love your story. And I love that you've really crossed off your list, of everything I don't want to do, because that very much sounds like me. I've always had a list of saying, I don't want to be this. I don't want to be that. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. But after you cross all these things off, it's like, what do you do, right? What is that thing? And so I love that you were able to figure it out, right? And Google online and find something that truly aligns with you. And before we get into the episode in terms of talking about your corporate wellness, but also talking about the Travel Coach Network, for anyone who doesn't know, what is the definition of travel coaching? And what is the biggest difference between a travel coach and a travel agent, like so many people know?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great question. It's a very common question. First, I have to say that because the travel coaching industry has grown quite a bit over the past few years, there's actually different definitions of it out there. But under the Travel Coach Network, we define travel coaching as a travel professional who helps people set intentions for their trips. So it's about helping people identify their underlying reasons for why they want to travel and then using travel as a tool to reach those specific goals, maybe obtain the transformation or the life change or the lifestyle that they're looking for. Because as we all know, travel is really powerful and really benefits us in so many different and personal ways, that it's about shifting the perspective on how travel is used and viewed as well.
I love that.
The difference between a travel agent and a travel coach is, when it comes to travel agent, their main goal is to plan and book a trip. There's also a different set of like criteria as well as a process for someone to become a travel agent by working with a host agency. If you want to start on your own, you have to do a certain amount of things. You have to have access to certain portals. But travel coaches don't focus on the planning or booking phase of a trip. We don't book the trips. We don't need to have access to those online portals. Instead, we focus on the empowerment and the educational side of travel. But with that said, there are many travel agents and travel advisors who have come into the Travel Coach Network to combine travel coaching with their travel agent services, though.
That's great. And I think that's such a wonderful way to combine an expertise that you know with something else you're passionate with to really give the best customer experience. So I think that's amazing. And before we get into the Travel Coach Network, I do want to ask you a couple questions about corporate wellness, right? Another definition for you. For many corporate people listening to this podcast, what does corporate wellness actually mean?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. I think there's a lot of different perspectives and definitions out there, because companies love to slap corporate wellness or wellness in general, employee well-being, on their company culture, on their websites, on their brand. But yet, what does that actually look like and mean to them? It all looks and means something different. How I see corporate wellness is a company's corporate responsibility for the overall well-being of their employees. And what that involves, their physical, their mental, emotional, their professional, their intellectual well-being as well. And we're seeing a lot of corporate wellness. It has been something that has been catapulted to the forefront, or wellness in general, as we come out of the pandemic. But yet companies, where I find, are still struggling to think outside the box and really satisfy the needs of their employees.
What are some of the biggest challenges, right? These companies are dealing with people wanting to be remote or hybrid. These people are burned out. Maybe they have to travel again. You know, I think of my husband, who didn't travel as much through the pandemic. And now that the pandemic is quote unquote kind of over, he is starting to travel more, right? So it's become a lot on him, and I'm sure like so many others. So what is that balance? Like, what does that look like for a company trying to go through all these changes?
Yeah. So like you mentioned, business travel well-being is also something that I focus a lot in as a wellness travel coach. They're kind of similar industries, just the corporate wellness industry in general, and then the business travel wellness industry as well. They both were facing burnout epidemics pre-pandemic. One of the biggest challenges that companies are facing is they don't want to invest in it. Yet they want to, like I said, put it on their company culture and in their brand just because they're trying to attract and retain talent. Yet money is being put into, yes, money is being put into wellness, but it's going to be another wellness app. It's going to be a yoga session. So it's things that they were already doing before the pandemic. They're keeping people still in the office longer. So after work sessions, whether it's a meditation session before work or whether, you know, it's another membership that they get on an app. I mean, how many apps do people want and need, and how much wellness can that actually bring us? Where we're seeing them really lacking is taking a look at the change in humanity overall because of the pandemic. During the pandemic, people were gifted with time that they didn't have before, with their family, by themselves, off of work. So that time allowed people to rethink what matters most to them. It gave them time to reevaluate their happiness, how they want to use their time moving forward, and really what they want in their life. And that's why we're seeing companies and we're hearing about this great resignation still happening around the globe, where it's hard for companies to get people back into either the office or back to get them hired. And then in business travel, to get people back on the road. Well, why is that? It's because people had a taste of this quote unquote sense of freedom and flexibility. They aren't going to go back to a company that didn't value them and their personal well-being and their personal goals pre-pandemic, that undervalued them and didn't acknowledge them. And, you know, people have more options than ever before moving forward. So that's why we see remote work on the rise and companies having to reshuffle and figure out, what does that look like moving forward? Because you give people a taste of their flexibility, you can't take that away from them. They're not going to change their mind and go back. They may not be as mobile as they were before of changing different locations, but they're still going to have that same mindset of, you know, I'm going to choose a company that really values my time, my energy, my well-being, and or work for themselves online. Because as we know, there's more options than ever before to make money in other ways than working for a company.
100,000,000%. Couldn't agree more with the time, the freedom, the flexibility. It really opened people's minds, right? And to understand that there is so much more to this world than just a job and that 9-to-5 grind and the commute and the hustle and bustle and so much more of that. And then in terms of, right, you've mentioned all these issues and how companies could do it. What are some realistic solutions that you think companies can do to not only lure employees, but actually keep them and make it sustainable, but also make employees happy, right? I feel that's like the biggest goal for any corporation.
Yeah, that's what they say. let's look at what people are looking at or wanting. Remote work has skyrocketed, and it was something that people were looking for before the pandemic ever happened. There was the rise in the quote unquote digital nomad, and companies were just calling it the crazy, you know, millennials who are careless and aren't serious about work. But yet the pandemic kind of catapulted this remote work industry, so much so that companies, hotels are offering extended stays. Companies are fighting over getting remote work as remote workers to stay there or to work there or whatever it might be. And what is that underlying thing is travel. People want to travel. And So a simple thing that companies can do is reassess their vacation policies. Not everyone wants to be a remote worker. Some people want to go back to the workplace, or they want to go back to the company that they were working at before. But studies have shown that pre-pandemic, for years leading up to this big burnout epidemic that was happening, companies were not valuing travel. The vacation policies were awful. There's so many reports. I know that the U.S. Travel Association came out with a lot of research in their Project Time Off report. This was back even, I think, in 2016 or 17. And in these studies, in theirs and others, they're talking about how companies don't value people or don't want them to talk about their vacations. They don't offer support or guidance on booking using their travel time. In the States, I know we only get 2 weeks a year usually, 2 weeks a year. People weren't allowed to, you know, talk about their travels when they returned. They were so overloaded with work that they felt like they couldn't go, or they had to work while they were traveling. So they felt like, what's the point of going if I'm just going to work anyways? Just the whole company culture around the concept of travel was underappreciated. Yet people were quitting their job to travel, quitting the 9-to-5 to travel, quitting the corporate job to travel. It became like a tagline. So companies weren't listening. So the simplest thing that you can do now is take a look at the past and just give people what they're asking for. Companies are like doing everything they can to try to get people back, but yeah, it's as simple as look at your vacation policies, look at your company culture centered around travel, and you know, where can you improve that? What kind of incentives, what kind of offers can you give? A great example of a company is Ernst & Young, especially their Oceania region. They've always been great when it comes to employee vacations. They even created, I think they're the first company that created their internal travel agent, agency, so that their employees have support and guidance to be able to plan and book their trips for their vacations. So it's about this company culture change. So it's as simple as just taking a look at that.
I absolutely love that. I couldn't agree more with you on this one, because my in-laws are from the UK and they're very used to at least 30 days of holiday, right? That's what they call it in the UK. It's usually holiday. And when they came to the States, you know, my mother-in-law was telling me that her husband only gets, I think, 15 to 17 days a year. And they just think it's preposterous. You know, you have to try to plan a vacation and you want to see people and do a million things, but you can't because you only have X amount of time. And it was a taboo thing. I remember even working in corporate and feeling like it was hard to talk about a vacation when you weren't really supposed to go on vacation, or you had to feel uncomfortable and it was hard to take days off. And there was a terrible culture on that. So I 1000% agree with you. It's so simple, right? It's such a simple concept to do, but I don't understand why more companies aren't doing that. And so I hope with the spread of this podcast and what you're doing, more and more companies actually listen to that and really implement that. So I think that's just so powerful. And again, thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, of course.
I want to segue into the Travel Coach Network. I have had a couple girls from the Travel Coach Network come on the podcast, and they've only said the best things about the coaching program and working with you and just feeling so empowered and valued and supported. For anyone who doesn't know about the Travel Coach Network, can you just give a summary and overview of what the Travel Coach Network is and what somebody can expect if they decide to join your program?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. Well, that's really lights my heart up to hear that they were saying such kind things. I really admire and appreciate everyone in my Travel Coach Network. They're all amazing human beings who all are so unique and offer so many different things to the world. The Travel Coach Network, it's a global community of travel coaches. And it started from a place where essentially I built what I was looking for when I was just aimless backpacker trying to figure out my career path in travel and not having much luck in it. And I wanted a place where I could teach others what I was learning over the years and while I was building my wellness travel coaching business. And I turned that content into a coaching program, the Travel Coach Program, which 2 years ago, I believe it is, I finally got it accredited as I grew it and you know, made it the best that I can over the years and got it accredited through the International Coach Federation, which was a huge accomplishment because it's not an easy process. That's our flagship program, but we even just have a free community in our Facebook group, the TCN global community, because I still want to be able to help and provide resources and empowerment and have others help one another and support one another, even if they're not a paying member of the TCN. We recently launched the TCN membership club, which have even a free option too, which is another way if people don't want to opt in, because the Travel Coach Certification Program is an investment because of the value that it's providing. I provide a lot of my personal time to the members of the certification program as coaching and guiding, because I know I'm someone that values mentorship and advisors a lot in growing my business so much over the years, that I wanted to be able to provide that to my members. But there's so many different types of resources and ways to be involved and different price points for everyone in the network. Essentially, it's a place too where people just meet amazing humans and become friends. I love seeing my members meet up with one another in different parts of the world. And we started our global ambassador program where we have different ambassadors kind of taking over certain regions and hosting meetups and stuff, because I was getting requested, hey, can we have a meetup? And I'm only one person. I can only go to so many places while also running my wellness travel coaching business. And so being able to see all of them kind of become really good friends really is, I feel like, an accomplishment in the community.
I love that. I love that you offer something free so everyone can get value while also still limiting your time and making sure you're giving that time to the people that are paying into your coaching program. And speaking of your coaching program, what is involved, right? Because a lot of times people sign up for different courses and different programs, and sometimes it's a course that you do self-paced. Some of them are that plus once a week coaching. Some of them offer maybe one one-on-one session. Give me an overview of what somebody can expect when they join your program.
Yeah. So the Travel Coach Certification Program is far more than just a coaching program. There are tons of coaching programs out there. But yes, it abides by the ICF core competencies and coaching standards and everything too, which is of course what we teach. But it's far more than just that. I really value the help and guidance on building a business in general, let alone combining your passion and love for travel into your business. So I incorporate that. So we focus a lot in the business aspect when it comes to your authentic marketing and messaging, really standing out in the travel industry in a way that is unique to you. You know, I provide a lot of insight and industry research and mentors and guests that I've admired or learned from it, and I provide that with the members too. It is 9 modules that are self-paced, but we do have live group coaching sessions every month where it provides an opportunity for the members to work directly with me and ask questions, get feedback, get help from one another. And I also take really important topics and expand upon them in those sessions. That's a great way for people to kind of go at their own pace. And people do have lifetime access, because I don't feel like there should be a time limit on when you build your business, because everyone's journey and everyone's reality looks different. And I know a lot of programs that have like a door open, door close, you have to be done at a certain time. But I don't treat it that way. I have members who have been working on it for a while now because they had a different job or they're a busy mom or whatever it might be. I just let my members know that I'm always here for them. And so is the certification program and our community too.
I love that. I think that's such a great overview, and thank you for explaining it in that way. And for anybody who wants to become a travel coach, right? For anyone, right, like you think of an accountant, you're working with numbers and you're doing a lot of operations and behind the scenes. When it comes to travel coaching, right, what does it take to become a great travel coach? Is it just loving travel and the passion? Is it maybe knowing a certain area of the world that you love or have lived in? Like, give me an idea of this, because a lot of times people might feel intimidated to understand what a travel coach is and what kind of work does that entail?
Yeah, that's a great question. Travel coaching, it boils down to believing in the power of travel. Many travelers ourselves, whether you're have a travel career or not, you understand how travel has impacted your life, has transformed you in some way, whether that's even just through a relationship, whether that is personally, whether that was from a solo trip, whether it's from healing from a traumatic event, or whether that was finding your purpose in life. All of that falls under the power of travel. And travel coaches take that. They take what they love and learned and transform through travel of themselves to empower and inspire others. So everyone has different reasons why they want to travel. But it's really up to the travel coach to be able to ask the right questions and really get to know the travelers on a human level to understand why they really want to travel. Where is this desire for this escape or this sense of freedom, whatever it might be, where does it stem from? And how can travel really be used as a tool for them to reach those goals or to achieve the transformation or to feel the way that they want to feel or to have the lifestyle that they want to have? And it really boils down to, like I said, travel coaches looking within themselves. And that's where I always tell people to start, is like, how has travel impacted you? Because I feel like that's often a step that's overlooked in the travel industry in general, especially the travel agent industry. It's always been the logistics of learning how to sell travel. And I always say, we don't sell travel. No one sells travel. We're selling an outcome, a transformation, a feeling, a result. That's what people are actually opting into. That's what people are buying. And that's what people want. It's emotional. Travel's emotional. So it's travel coaches understand and believe the value in travel.
I love that. And I do believe travel is very emotional. It's very powerful and it can really change your whole world, right? I absolutely love that. But in terms of logistics for a quick second here, I know with some of your travel coaches that come into your program, they are travel agents, right? But if they are a travel coach and they don't have any travel agency experience or don't know anything about booking travel, how does a travel coach help somebody actually book the logistics? Are they partnering with a travel agency? Are they just saying, hey, go on Kayak or Expedia? How does that conversation work so somebody can feel really confident in their travel coach that at least they're guiding them in that direction of booking it?
Yeah, that's a great question. Someone wouldn't go to a travel coach with the expectation of booking their trip. That's what travel agents are for. But like you said, there are many travel agents in the network who have the love of booking trips and the capabilities of doing so. But in the travel coach network, the fundamentals of travel coaching is not about booking a trip. People can help plan with the trip, but it's about when you ask the right questions, when you get to those underlying reasons, those motivating factors for why someone wants to travel, that helps the traveler identify where they want to go, what kind of things they need to do or want to do, what kind of experiences they want to have, who they need to travel with. Maybe it's solo, maybe it's with their partner, maybe it's with their children, or whomever, how long they need to travel for, and how do they need to get there. All of those the planning questions get answered when people have the underlying intention set for their trip. I tell my travel coaches, you can help with the planning phase because some people are travel hackers. They love giving travelers the tips and tricks that they've used to be able to travel. And I know for myself, I love giving recommendations. Like I said, I don't do planning or booking trips for people. I've never been a travel agent. It's not my interest. But I love sharing some of my favorite destinations that helped me reach certain goals that I had or I learned when I was there. So for example, like wellness travel, I always think about Southeast Asia, being in the beaches, the local culture, the community, the local healthy food. So I would suggest some certain destinations. But again, it's up to the travel coach to figure out and establish if that's what they want to do in their business too. Just like we were talking about in the beginning of identifying what you want to do and what you don't want to do, that's also really important for your business. Just because you have the skills and the know-how to do something and people come to you for it does not mean that you have to incorporate it into your business either.
I love that. And I think that's a really, really, really important note to make, because we all could be really good at something. It doesn't mean we like it and it doesn't mean we enjoy it. So I think it's really powerful to have those boundaries within yourself to say, yep, I love this and I want to do it, or I'm good at it, but I don't like it. And then just, I don't like it, I don't want to do it. So I think that's a really powerful message. And again, thank you for sharing that. Another question I have is, I want to get into a little bit of marketing here, because for right, a lot of people, they may not even know what a travel coach is. And then if you become a travel coach, how do you market yourself out there, right? On social media, trying to get through different media outlets, word of mouth, of course. But I'm sure that's not an easy feat to get the word out there, of course. What is a travel coach? To go from what is a travel coach to I am a travel coach to how do I get clients, right? What are some great ways that a travel coach can get themselves out there so people know who they are and they ultimately want to work with them?
Yeah, I always say there's two important things to think about: your messaging and your visibility. Your messaging is really important, because that's the copy that resonates with your ideal audience most. And you want to get crystal clear on what that is. I always tell my travel coaches, what do you want people to believe in when it comes to travel? What do you want them to know? If you were to stand on a stage and your ideal audience was out there and you had a very short time to tell them something in a few sentences, what would you tell them? What do you want them to believe in? Is it that travel can transform your life if you take a trip on your own and get outside of your comfort zone? Is it that traveling can teach your children, you know, X amount of things and expose them to different cultures and traditions and different destinations around the world? And how can that benefit them? Whatever it might be that you personally believe in, what do you want people to know? It could be someone that experienced a traumatic life event or a loss of a loved one, and they turned to travel and that it helped them find purpose again. It helped them, it helped with human connection. Is that maybe that you want to help people too who have experienced loss, to say that, you know, maybe a trip is something that can really transform how you feel and take you to that next phase in your life because you're really struggling like I was. So your marketing, your messaging is really important. Like going back to why we don't sell travel, telling someone how white a sandy beach is, or how crystal clear the blue waters are, or how many museums are in the city, or how great the nightlife is, that's not selling anything. That doesn't tell people anything emotionally. That's not touching them emotionally. Like I said, travel is emotional. You have to speak to someone's emotions. And that starts with you figuring out, how is travel emotional for you? And then the second part is visibility. Now, where does your ideal audience hang out? Where do they listen to? What do they watch? What do they read? What kind of social media platforms are they on? And being there. I absolutely love media publicity. It's a great free way to get exposure. I teach that in my certification program and in my membership club, because it has helped me scale my businesses as quickly as I have in the past few years. So being in different publications and outlets and everything. Social media, being on the right platform. You don't have to be on every platform. It's going to burn you out and it's not going to be fun. So figure out where do your ideal audience, where do they spend their time? Is it Facebook, Instagram? Is it LinkedIn? Are they only on TikTok? Are they on Twitter all the time? Are they scroll on Pinterest? And then I would add into visibility is really amplifying your amount of content you put out there, but doing it in a smart way by just repurposing your content. You don't have to recreate the wheel every single time. Take a piece of content, turn it into a piece of content for every platform, whether it's a static post, a video, a clip, just the copy, long form, short form, whatever it might be. You'd be really surprised on where people will find you. The word of mouth is the old school way of travel agents. That's why the travel agent industry really started, was because there was no online GPS or GDS system like Google Flights or Kayak or anything like that back then. So the way people traveled was through travel agents. And that was through word of mouth because there was a lack of the internet and social media, or the absence of it, I should say. So that's no longer the case. So word of mouth obviously is great and that is going to happen, but that boils down to after you already worked with a person and captured them, and then they can, how they had, what kind of experience they had with you, how they share that with someone else. So all of that boils into your branding. How do you make people feel? How do you want to make people feel when they hear you, read about you, work with you, contact you, and more. So that's all very important. So we talk about branding, we talk about marketing, we talk about media, we talk about visibility, all of that in the network.
That's wonderful and such really great, amazing, helpful tips. I think that could really translate to any business, to be quite honest with you. So for anyone listening to this, I think this could really help you, especially if you have your own business. So that's fantastic. I have two more questions before we slowly wrap up. My first question is, right, to become a travel coach, I'm sure is a big decision in itself. And then when it comes to niching down what you could quote unquote be good at, what you could sell, what you can help people with, how do you walk somebody through that process of getting specific on what they want to sell within travel coaching?
Yeah. So going back to what we're not selling anything, the old school way for travel agents, and it's always comparable to travel agent industry because that's been the main travel career industry. That if you had an interest in travel, most likely you would become a travel agent because there was really no other options. So the old school way of travel agents, narrowing it down, niching down, choosing a niche, and it boiled down to whether it was family travel, luxury travel, cruises, Disney, a certain brand like Sandals maybe or Disney. Are they women at a certain age? But that idea, that concept has to be thrown out the window because you cannot group people together who would enjoy a certain experience or a certain transformation. And I guarantee that they wouldn't look the same. They wouldn't be the same demographic. They wouldn't be the same income level. They wouldn't be the same race, religion, gender from a certain destination. So you have to, what I always say is it starts with the pain points of your ideal clients. What are they looking for out of an experience? How do they want to feel? What is this trip supposed to, what are they looking for? How do they want to feel when they return? What do they, how do they want to feel while they're on their trip? What kind of outcomes are they looking for? Are they looking for clarity? Do they want to find their purpose in life? Do they want to just have human connection again and meet new people? Or do they want to feel fulfilled? Those are pain points that people are desiring. And that's who you should be figuring out and quote unquote choosing a niche. I always say in my network, I don't like saying the word niche because I don't think people should really niche down. It's more of an area of expertise. Where's your area of passion lie? Mine's always been in wellness, but I don't target wellness travelers because I don't believe there's a difference between a wellness traveler and a traveler. Travel is wellness and wellness is travel. So it's a different, it's a shift in the approach of how we view and use travel. And that should also go to the travel professional, whether you're a travel coach, travel agent, whatever.
No, I love that. And that's such a good way of looking at it. It's almost like synchronized, right? Like you're synchronizing it's travel and wellness almost together, but you also allow them to be separate. So you just, you said that really beautifully. And I like that you don't try to niche down and be really specific, that you just have a bigger area. I think a lot of people could take away from that in a better way to not feel so niched, right? And I'm going to almost argue any business in this, that they have to niche down and be so specific that they can broaden a little bit and think about things in a different light. So again, thank you for sharing that. And my last question before we really wrap up here, you mentioned it before when it came to branding of how do you want people to feel, right? And the question I typically love to ask to mostly tour guides is how do you want people to feel after they experience your tour? I'm going to word it a little bit different this time, where I'm going to ask, how do you want people to feel when they work with you both on the wellness corporate side, but also working and working with you in the Travel Coach Network?
Well, in the Travel Coach Network, how I want people to feel is that one, they're not alone in anything. Business can be a very lonely place. Running a business on your own, especially, can be a very lonely journey. And it's a very difficult journey. So in the Travel Coach Network, I want them to know that they have the support, whether it's through me, whether it's through one another. It's the community aspect. And that it's a place for them to turn to, that they're not going to be judged, because just like through travel, we travel to learn about other people, cultures, embrace one another, to have acceptance and understanding. Same thing in the Travel Coach Network. We're a global community of travel professionals, I say, because who accept one another. And you can ask questions, you can ask for feedback, you can, there's no such thing as a silly question. And then working in the, with my, in my, what I call my corporate side, as a wellness travel coach working with companies, is I want them to feel like it's time to think outside the box, and that there is someone who they can turn to have that innovation and that those creative thoughts. Companies have a lot on their plate and they don't want to take a lot more on. So being that one responsible for, you know, making that change and really adding the value that their company is lacking, is how I want them to feel.
I love that. I love all of that. I think there's such good feelings, and you being so open and honest has been wonderful. And Sahara, I never like to wrap these up, but this conversation has definitely been amazing. So honored to have you as a guest. I love that we got into travel coaching, talking about the corporate side of wellness and why that really matters. And again, really honing in on that vacation policy. I think that, again, it's so simple, but it's so impactful. And I really hope that any conversation around it just makes it better for people in the corporate world. But also talking about the Travel Coach Network, you have such a wealth of knowledge. Again, I've interviewed a few girls on the podcast who have really sang your praises and have loved working with you in your program. I'd love for you to shamelessly plug away all your social media, your website, and most importantly, how can people work with you both on the corporate side and through TCN?
Yeah, thank you. Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed our conversation. You're very kind. For the Travel Coach Network, you can find us at thetravelcoachnetwork.com. You can find us at the Travel Coach Network on Facebook, on Instagram, as well. And as for my wellness travel coaching, my website is saharrosetravels.com, but you can also find me on LinkedIn at Sahara Rose DeVore. My main platform for my wellness travel coaching is all on my LinkedIn, but of course I'm also on Instagram at Sahara Rose, the travel coach.
Amazing. Again, thank you so much for coming on. It's been wonderful to have you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much for tuning into Travel Experiences Reimagined podcast. Click the subscribe button to learn about a new tour guide or host each week, where you'll find out more about how they got started, talking in detail about their experience, and any fun facts or tips that they'd like to share. Do you have an experience that you would like others to learn about, whether it is a tour, excursion, adventure, or experience? Fill out our form online on our website at www.travelexperiencesreimagined.com for a chance to share your story and experience, so others can learn more about what you have to offer.